Hey, and welcome to the Zeitgeist Podcast. This is January 9th, and I'm your host, Christian Humes, joined here with Emily Gale Langston. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Oh, hello there. Welcome. Everybody else
today?
Listening? Fine. I'm fine. I was, today was like, legitimately and fine day.
Yeah. It's raining in Los Angeles because we're recording this on Monday night. This is coming out on Tuesday, but it's raining today.
Yeah, I wish I didn't have to work today because I do really like the rain and I wish I could have just been home for it.
Did you use public transportation today in LA during the rain?
Oh, no. The thing about not having a car is people just want to lend you their cars all the time. So I haven't like used a public transit in like 3 weeks probably.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was convenient timing, especially since it's like flooding. Mudslide warnings everywhere. We had, for those unfamiliar, fires everywhere a month ago. And now because of that,
Right. They
said it's going to cause mudslides everywhere. So,
yep.
California is in a never-ending state of apocalyptic danger. So,
aren't we all? Isn't everybody, though, you know?
If you check Twitter, you might think so.
Yeah.
All right, so Emily.
That's
big
true.
News of this week. Oprah Winfrey, 2020. How do you feel?
Okay, so let me just say, I love Oprah. Like, I love her. Somebody recently saw... somebody recently asked me how I ended up being intelligent after meeting people in my life. And I have thought about it since then, and I legitimately think it's because I started, like, I watched Oprah's show every single day of my life growing up. Every day at 4 p.m., I watched Oprah. And I think that's the reason why I'm, like, as woke as I am being from Georgia.
Oh, that makes sense. So,
and I love her.
For those who are unfamiliar, last night during the Golden Globes, on Sunday night, Oprah had a remarkable speech.
Right.
It was, how would you describe it?
It was one of, okay, so also in addition to loving Oprah, I love Mr. Rogers, and Mr. Rogers got a Lifetime Achievement Award about, I want to say in the late 90s, that left like every single person in the audience in tears. And I would say this is the best speech I've heard since that speech. That being said, I wouldn't want either Mr. Rogers or Oprah to be my president.
What was her speech about? Because if you go online today, if you watch Good Morning America, if you watch the news, if you read the New York Times, everyone will just be talking about why Oprah Winfrey shouldn't run for president. No one seemed to be talking about what her actual speech said.
Did you watch it or no?
I did.
Her actual speech was about kind of black representation, about how when she was a kid, like, seeing somebody, oh, what's his freaking name? I seem like such an asshole because I can't remember his name. But she talked about what that meant for her and for how she's happy to be that for little girls, being the first black female to win the award. And just in general that things are about to change for women, hopefully.
Well, and wasn't it also... in support of the Me Too campaign? Wasn't that a large... It was in support of women.
Yeah.
In support of the Me Too
did.
Campaign.
She...
The thing I thought was strange was no one was talking... I mean, not no one, but primarily the big story was about how Oprah 2020, Oprah for president, or Oprah why she shouldn't run for president. And it sort of takes away... I mean, am I wrong here? Doesn't it take away from her message, which was inspirational towards and about women and... sort of solidifying the Me Too moment in this very important night where, for instance, Natalie Portman also had a pretty important moment last night when she called out how there were no female directors on the best director list. It was all men.
Yeah.
And no one's talking about that.
Yeah, I think it absolutely takes away.
How did you enjoy that shade that Queen Amidala threw?
I fucking loved that. At first I was like, poor Guillermo del Toro, because he doesn't, he's just like this little man just being like, I'm here, guys. And he was like the first person announced after that. But, yeah, I thought that that was ballsy as fuck, and I don't know. I liked that a lot. But I do think that it people saying that Oprah should run for president are definitely taking away from the message of the speech. Like, they should be talking about how groundbreaking the speech was and all the things she said, and not, like, she should be our president.
We just complained about all these stupid people wanting to just elect someone who is popular and someone that was on TV and someone that's a billionaire. And now everyone on the other side, all of the liberal people that made fun of all the Republicans that voted for that person, want to go and do the same thing. Not that in any way are Oprah Winfrey and Donald Trump the same. She is an incredible person, and he should never be within her presence, even though she once hosted a party at his Mar-a-Lago. But that aside, billionaires are in a different world than everyone else. TV stars are in a different world from everyone else. They're not politicians. They're not here to serve the people. The people are there to serve them. The people are what, you know, they're totally like the opposite spectrum of what you want out of a politician. We need to like end this insane, like normalizing popular candidates that aren't politicians and have never served any form of office. It's crazy.
Right. I would say in Oprah's case, she does devote a lot of her life to helping people, which is like,
yes,
not like Donald Trump at all, but she doesn't have any political experience.
She could be a great ambassador, you know, like there's probably a number of great things she could do, you know, as you just said, but I don't think she should be the commander in chief.
Yeah, no.
Not that Donald Trump should be, and I'd rather have you be president than Donald Trump. I think most everyone would rather have anyone they meet on the street be president rather than Donald Trump. But that doesn't mean we should be making Oprah the president of the United States.
Yeah, I completely agree. Not that I don't love Oprah. Like I said, I fucking worship that woman.
She's amazing.
She's the only person my other Instagram follows. And I do have a supercut of all of her Thanksgiving videos just for my personal enjoyment that I made. But I don't want her to be my president.
And she is loved on, you know, both sides of the aisle, the normal human side and the insane crazy side. Bill O'Reilly once said that she was the most powerful woman in the world and talked about how she was self-made and how she's this incredible woman. And that guy is complete scum. And he even thinks that she's amazing. So like everyone loves her for a reason. The last thing you want to do is go make that person a politician, because by the end of that process, no one's going to like her. Like, becoming a politician almost guarantees it ruins you.
Oprah is the equivalent of Queen Elizabeth for us.
It would not turn out well.
She's a unifying figure for us. She's royalty.
Well, plus, then we're going to end up with, like, Deepak Chopra is going to be, like, our surgeon general. So we're all going to have, like, homeopathic medicine instead of healthcare. We're going to get, like, Dr. Oz for Health and Human Services. And he'll be pushing his, like, insane medicines and vitamins that he sells people that don't do anything. We'll probably have, like, Dr. Phil in charge of, like, education or something stupid like that. Like, the people she surrounds herself with and that she peddles to, like, all these white women that fall for a lot of this stuff. Like, she is also a salesman. She is, like, she's a wonderful person, but she also has made billions of dollars on the backs of, like, some snake oil. Like, she surrounds herself with salesmen and characters. Not a lot of them are the greatest people to be around, but it doesn't necessarily make her a bad person either. But maybe then she doesn't feel the best. She wouldn't surround herself with the best people, necessarily, as Donald Trump
says. Here's a question. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What if Kamala Harris was like, I'm going to run for president with my running mate, Oprah Winfrey?
I mean, if Kamala Harris ran like that, that's right now, if I could pick anyone to be our top ticket for 2020, which also we need to stop talking about the next president. We have 2018 elections we need to be paying attention to. But 2020,
yeah, that's true.
Harris is my number one pick. And the thing, I tweeted this out. I was like, hey, unless you guys want like Dr. Oz in the cabinet, I was like, maybe Oprah would do better for us, like promoting and campaigning for someone like Kamala Harris as opposed to running for the presidential ticket herself.
Yeah.
I think I might actually rather have Oprah Winfrey than Bernie Sanders, just because I can't stand Bernie Bros.
No, yeah, I agree with that. 100%.
has less to do with Bernie Sanders, more to do with his fans.
Yeah, poor Bernie. He's like ruined by his fan base.
And he's very old.
What else?
Very old.
What else is ruined by their fan base?
Oh man, so much.
Yeah.
For John Murphy, Harry Potter.
Oh yeah. God, and
I honestly think The Room and The Disaster Artist. It's why I've never seen it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can understand that. Speaking of which, did you put our bios up for this, for our podcast?
No, I'm going to do that tomorrow when we do the post for this episode.
Okay, perfect. Make sure everybody reads mine because it's great.
It's very good. It's very good.
That's my other plug. Read my bio on this.
How do you like that new art?
Oh, our new art looks really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Our other co-host, who's not here today, his one comment was, "It looks like a quilt." He was like, "It's okay. It looks like a quilt." I'm like, "What the fuck?"
I would love to go to an art museum with John.
Oh, that sounds fun. I still haven't been to the LACMA.
Oh, really? LACMA's freaking awesome. There's honestly not a wealth of like really cool exhibits there right now because they have a lot of construction coming up. So I think they're kind of like slowing down in terms of that. But it's like my favorite place to go. And you get free admission after 3 p.m. And on Fridays, it's open till 8, Christian. So,
yeah, I really should just go do that.
Yeah. Come on. Go to LACMA. Everybody go to LACMA. It's just not... Look at some art.
I'm never like in that area, so it's like.
You know, wow, I guess you don't want like date nights, huh?
I mean, I do a lot of West Side stuff these days. You know, I'm one of those West Side guys.
Oh, what, you just go to commissary all the time, every day?
No, commissary is like the only time I make the drive up there. But we have the dog, so I can't bring the dog into LACMA.
It's true.
Because I've thought about it before. I was like, oh, we could go to LACMA, but we have the dog. I'm just going to leave him in the car.
I like the segment of the show where we talk about the logistics of our household life.
Yeah, it's difficult.
It is really difficult.
We've got the two cats. We've got the dog. It's a whole thing. You understand. You have a very needy dog.
I do have a very needy dog. She's just staring at me right now. And it's her 6th birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
She's going to get eggs and bacon for dinner.
That's fantastic. So, Emily, yeah. We both just saw some movies. Why don't we tell each other about them? You want to start?
Yeah. I saw The Shape of Water. It's so freaking good. I've been thinking about it for days. Actually, I've been like Googling it like 4 times a day just to see if there's like any new thoughts behind it. Do you know anything about this movie? Like, what do you know about this movie?
So here's what I know about it. I'll tell you what I know. It's made by Guillermo del Toro, who has made some of my favorite works. He made Pan's Labyrinth, which I love. Mm-hmm. And he also made Pacific Rim, which is fantastic.
Fucking love Pacific Rim.
Yeah. Great. Very excited for the new one. Just saw the trailer the other day when I went to the movies last night for the new one. He did a couple of other things. What else has Guillermo... There was one movie he did that I wasn't a fan of. It was the Mansion movie. It was like a gothic romance.
Oh, it was about the house, right?
Yeah. It had the guy that played Loki in it, I think.
Yeah, fuck. And I was just talking about this movie, too.
That was the only movie I was not really interested in.
Yeah, it came out like 2 years ago.
He's done quite a few things... All of them are pretty good. I love Guillermo del Toro because everything he does feels so tactile because he does so many lifelike props.
Oh my God.
And really limits the way he uses his CG.
Yeah. And that was another exhibit at LACMA that you should have gone to. Mm-hmm.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that once I was like, here we go. Here comes the LACMA scolding. So The Shape of Water, all I know is... there's this woman who works at some sort of place. It looks like it's out of the video game BioShock.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very like retro futurist looking, very steampunk. And there is, I would almost call him like a merman in the way that like he's a manfish.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're studying him, but I don't know why. or how?
He's supposed to be like an homage to the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, cool.
So he's like, he looks pretty similar to that monster. Actually, I was reading an interview with Guillermo del Toro today talking about how he wanted a happy ending for that monster his entire life. So that's why he made this movie, because he wanted to give that monster like a happy story rather than having him be a monster.
Right. And he's not like coming out of a swamp in the dark. Like, you actually get to see him for what he is, so he doesn't look scary and gross.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's okay. So that's cool.
Dope-ass movie.
So what happens? Well, what, without giving too much away, what would you say the crux of this movie is? How would you describe it if you were asked to write like a small plot summary for people to see the movie?
It is a love story between two outcasts who have to learn how to communicate with each other. And that's it. That's how I describe it.
Oh. Because obviously he can't speak underwater, nor would he possibly understand English.
Well, yeah, he can't. Neither of them can speak, because she can hear, but she can't speak.
Oh, she's like a mute?
Yeah, she's a mute.
Oh, I had no idea. They don't tell you that in the trailers at all.
No, she's
okay,
just...
Okay, so that's a cool little piece that I actually enjoy knowing before seeing the movie. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool.
Where would you put this in the pantheon of Guillermo del Toro movies? So he's done Hellboy.
This might be my favorite one, honestly.
Whoa.
It might be this and then Pan's Labyrinth for me, because I love Pan's Labyrinth, but I have to close my eyes and more of Pan's Labyrinth than this movie.
I definitely have done that during, like, a little bit, like, looking away in the scene with the Pale Man.
Yeah.
The Pale Man's so fucked up.
I'd say Pan's Labyrinth is a scarier movie, probably, but there's, like, a lot of cringe parts in this movie that I did have to look away for.
Yeah. Oh, Crimson Peak was the name of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Crimson Peak. That movie was so boring. It was so pretty, but it was so boring.
Yeah. It didn't look good. It didn't look good. Yeah. He also apparently did some older movies. Mm-hmm. He did Blade 2, which I wasn't aware of. The Devil's Backbone Mimic. Yeah, he did the Hellboys, which they're doing that new one. Did you see the image that came out from that? It's not with him. They're rebooting it.
For Mimic or...
No, for Hellboy. They're doing a new Hellboy. They're rebooting it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
It's got the guy that is in Stranger Things. He's the new Hellboy.
Ooh.
Yeah, the cop. The cop is the new Hellboy.
Hopper?
Yeah. He looks great. There's a shot of it. They put out like a promo still for it. So I think they finished shooting it recently.
Dude, that's awesome.
I think it might be coming out later this year. That might be cool. I actually never saw those Hellboy movies. Because it sounded cheesy, like, first of all, the name Hellboy, and then the guy kind of looks like the devil and just has big fists. But now, having seen Guillermo del Toro's stuff, I'm interested in it, especially because in that second movie, there was this really cool, at least in the trailers, like, fish-looking guy, which I was like, oh, is he the guy that's in The Shape of Water?
Interesting. No, he's always been obsessed with that creature. Actually, he's always been obsessed with, like, all monsters, because he wants them to not... be seen as monsters.
Yeah, he does. He loves like monster movie stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's working on a video game with this guy, Hideo Kojima. He's been working on this thing. It's actually got Mads Mikkelsen, and it's got Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead are in this video game. And it is the weird, it's called Death Stranding. It's the weirdest thing in the world. No one knows what it is yet, but you should watch the trailer to this. I'll put it in the, I'm going to put the trailer for this video game in the page link for this post, because it's got, at one point, the camera pans down Norman Reedus's mouth and down his esophagus, and there's a baby inside, and the baby gives a thumbs up. It's like the most fucked up, because Guillermo del Toro is super weird. And Hideo Kojima, this guy, all the video games used to make, the stories were nuts. So now they're working together on this project, and they've got these two amazing actors working with it, and they're doing all this motion capture. And there's interviews with Norman Reedus, and you could tell he's like, I'm just along for the ride. I don't know what's going on. He's like, this is going to be weird.
Oh my God.
Like, no one knows what the game is at all. The trailer is very strange. It's the most bizarre thing anyone's ever seen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's like babies in jars and shit. No one knows what's happening.
Oh, I might watch just like a video of people playing that because I would be interested in watching it, but yeah. Probably not playing it.
No, you should watch this trailer. I'm going to send it to you. You should watch it with later because you'll laugh just watching it. That's cool. I'm going to go see that. That sounds really awesome. We actually just signed up not for MoviePass, but for the AMC MoviePass, which is technically not as good of a deal. So it just depends on what you're going to do with it. There's no cancellation fee unlike MoviePass. Because with MoviePass, you have to subscribe for a year. So with this, you could just cancel at any time. And it's $8.99 a month. And it covers, but it's only for one ticket is $8.99 instead of $9.99. So if you're the kind of person that goes to movies once a month, you'll end up saving money because the tickets are usually like $15. But then if you buy a second ticket for someone else, they're also $8.99. So all my tickets during the month are going to be the cheaper price. So like when me and my girlfriend go, if we go see a movie once a month now, it'll be half as much money as it was before, and we generally won't see more than that anyway. And then it also discounts all the other stuff and your concessions and stuff there.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So we did that.
No, I've been going to them like a lot with MoviePass.
Yeah, I understand that because I had it way back in the day and I saw 60-something movies when I had it.
I usually go to the movies a lot, but now that I have that, it makes me feel better about not wasting my money to see them.
Yeah, no, they're so expensive. It's crazy. So the next thing you should go see with your MoviePass, Jumanji.
Oh my God. I was supposed to see it yesterday, but there weren't any good times to go see it. And I was so pissed because I want to see it so badly.
Okay, so I saw it last night. Even though I've heard it's great and I know everyone I know has seen it loved it, I still only thought it was going to be good. I laughed my ass off start to finish in that movie.
Is Jack Black amazing?
So here's my caveats. Jack Black, for me personally, not a big fan.
Oh no.
Not in this movie though. He's wonderful. But I actually generally don't like him. I don't hate him, but he's one of those comedy actors that is always sort of doing the same shtick. Yeah. A little bit like Will Ferrell, which is why I don't like Will Ferrell, because they're both just sort of too silly, too over the top always. They're just playing the same character and everything. And so it's not that I think any of it's bad. It's just when I'm watching it, I never see them as the other character. I see them as just Jack Black or Will Ferrell. So I just have trouble enjoying the movie for that reason. In this, although he does have like some of his Jack Black-isms, he actually does a bit, he has a bit more nuance and it's awesome.
That's awesome because he's playing like a teenage girl.
Yes, and it's unbelievable. Like, so The Rock, I actually think, does the best job in the movie. He does such an incredible job playing like a dorky little kid in The Rock's body.
His mannerisms. I love The Rock.
He like nails these mannerisms and like he like genuinely looks scared during times of the movie and like he talks like a kid and he sounds so he. It really doesn't seem like it's The Rock most of the time. It really seems like it's this kid in The Rock's body.
I am so excited to see that freaking movie.
I'll tell you right now, there is and really, like, who would have thought? Who would have thought people would be talking about an awesome Jumanji reboot? Like an awesome Jumanji movie. Who would have ever guessed that would have been possible? Because, I mean, Robin Williams is gone. Like, why would you ever want to mess with the original? Why does that need to be done? But holy shit, they nail it. They nail it.
Yeah. Do they mention Robin Williams anywhere in it? Like,
there's one little Easter egg, which I actually didn't catch. My girlfriend pointed out to me afterwards because I asked her a question. I was like, oh, there's one thing I didn't get. They pointed to this thing. And I was like, who was that? And she was like, oh, that was in the original. So there is an Easter egg, which if you're familiar with the original Jumanji, you might catch. I just didn't catch it. But they do reference it, meaning that it is the same Jumanji. So it's actually not a reboot. It definitely takes place after the original.
Right.
I realize now after talking to my girlfriend, because we went and saw it together last night, about why it works so well. And in the original Jumanji, it's all about taking these wild elements and putting them in the real world. And this is just the opposite. So all of the things that you might be like, oh, they're just going to redo all those stories. It's the complete opposite because it's you're taking real people and putting them into a video game world.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like a total, the clash of culture, like the culture shock clash, Stranger in Strangeland thing. It's not the elements being in the real world. It's the opposite. So they don't really retread any ground. There's the only weak part really is the villain, but also like, how are you going to follow up the hunter? The hunter terrified me as a child. So yeah. He's not in it. It's a totally different guy, which I'm kind of glad, just because I don't think they would have captured that charm from the original one. And it was good that they did everything different otherwise. There's like really only, other than the name and it being a jungle, there's only one direct throwback to the original at all. Yeah. So that's pretty great.
How did Karen Gillan do?
Oh my gosh. So I love her ever since Doctor Who.
Yeah.
She's amazing in Doctor Who and also in Thor.
Right.
Which was at first, sorry, not Thor, in Guardians of the Galaxy. And so at first I was like, oh, because she's playing sort of like a badass character in this. The kid that embodies her is nerdy. And then her character in the game is a badass. So she has to like become a badass sort of thing. And obviously, like, you could guess very easily all of the kids, the characters they embody are basically the opposite of what they are outside of the game. She is wonderful. Her and The Rock are the two best actors in this. Also, who is the other guy in this? Nick Jonas. Nick Jonas is in this movie.
What?
And he does a very good job.
Did I know Nick Jonas was in this movie? Was he in the advertisements?
He's in a ton of like pictures and stuff, like billboards and things, but they show very little of him.
Oh shit. And it's Nick Jonas, like of the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah. He's great. And he's great. It's awesome.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's super good. I highly recommend you go see that. You will love it. Especially if you have MoviePass, it's totally worth it. But even if you didn't, I think actually I would say like this is a movie that would be worth seeing. Just it's very good.
Mike keeps making fun of me and Samantha because every time we see like a preview or a poster of it, we're like, we have to go see Jumanji. So
is he making fun of you because you say it that way or because it's Jumanji?
Because he thinks we're being stupid.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so good. It's really fucking good.
I'm glad you told me it was good because I'm not gonna tell Mike that it's good, and I'm just gonna let him be surprised when we go see it.
There's no way, even if you go into it not wanting to like it, you're gonna laugh. I laughed so hard during that movie. I'm not gonna tell you anything else except one thing, which is because there's three male characters in the video game and only one female character, but two of the people that go into the...
Right.
There is some really funny things that happen because Jack Black's character is actually a girl inside a dude's body. So, like, just imagine what it would be like for you if you could be inside a dude's body for, like, a day.
I'd play with my junk a lot.
It would be weird.
Yeah.
It'd certainly be weird. And they totally touch on that stuff. And it's fucking hilarious. It's so funny. So, yeah, it's great. I think that's it. I think really like this last week, if you stayed in touch with what's going on, there are some movies that are out. Everybody's talking about Jumanji. Oprah's running for president. Donald Trump's going insane on Twitter. I mean, there was that book that came out. If John were here today, I feel like we would have spent so much time just talking about that book.
That's true. I have not determined if that book's a credible source or not, because a lot of newspapers are saying that it's not, but then a lot of the same newspapers are also saying that it is, so I'm very confused.
Yeah, and there's problems with it because like some of it supposedly there were interviews that were conducted, but the interviewee wasn't aware it was an interview supposedly, so it's like, what are the ethics on that sort of a thing? But it also all adds up, and quite frankly,
yeah,
I'm willing to believe it, but I don't need to believe it to understand that Donald Trump is a lunatic regardless of the fact.
Right, I don't need to read that book at all because I know that it's fucked.
Yeah, and the tweets he's had challenging that book are incredible. I'll make one last thing, as supposedly today, Robert Mueller's team has contacted and reached out. They want to start interviews with Donald Trump investigating, and this isn't confirmed by him or anything else out there, but there are reports leaking saying today that they are starting the process of getting them to interview, and Trump's lawyers are basically just trying to avoid having interviews, and they're trying to just get a list of questions and send written answers sort of a thing, which, I mean, that's probably the first smart thing they've tried to do, but realistically that won't last forever. They'll only be able to avoid it for so long, but this thing is moving. So Robert Mueller time
so excited.
Yeah. It's like hashtag molar time is going to be trending, I think, in the future again.
I'm so excited.
And we've got the Women's March coming up. Are you going to go to that on the 20th? They're doing it again this year. All right. So I'll see you there. Yeah. You have anything else that you wanted to say?
The Zeitgeist of the week is my new blog. Well, my old blog, but revamped. It's called shutupemily.com. You guys should read it, subscribe, go to my new Instagram. Hey, Emily, shut up. That's it.
Okay. Everybody out there, stay safe. Stay on Twitter. Watch out for fire and fury. And just take a moment for yourself. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.